to leave. Oh, wait. Sorry. I mean, as the old year closes, I want you to leave well. Sorry, did I leave that dangling a little bit? Did I leave that dangling? Come on, everybody. Goodbye, 2018. Hello, 2019, right? I want to welcome everybody, whether you're here or virtually. And as I do, here's the thing I want to do. I need to make sure everybody has a copy of notes this morning. You need them. Everybody pull those out. There is a varying statistic as to the importance of writing things down. You know, at the very least, it's an archive. We actually have sermon binders available for you. There's something about the stackability of reading and studying, right? There's also an aspect of that there might be something that as you're listening on a Sunday to Sunday, that it does something within you that then you want to study that out further in your own time with God, your own quiet time. Does that make sense to you? But so I want us to look at this idea this morning of how to leave well. I believe this has the power to be a very important message for you. I've been so excited about this standalone sermon because I see that we don't leave places well. And I'll show you what I mean by that in a moment. Billy Joel, the great theologian, actually he's not a theologian, but great songwriter. I remember this album. My dad was a Billy Joel fan, and I remember this album. So many faces in and out of my life. Some will last, some will just be now and then. Life is a series of hellos and goodbyes. I'm afraid it's time for goodbye again. If you listen to the Michael Kay show, you've heard that. That's his end each time. That's his farewell of every daily show. But here's the thing. There are some of you that you need to say goodbye to some people from this past year. There are some of you that you need to change some habits. You need to change some habits. Some of you have some destructive places, patterns, people. You need to change some of those things. Some of you in your thought life, you are not truly believing that you're a child of the great and high and holy God. You're living as still enslaved. You're living oppressed. You need to leave some of those places if you're truly going to flourish in the next place. And one of the things that really struck me is this, that the entire scripture, let's start just the Christmas story. It's an entire series of leaves. An angel leaves heaven to announce that Mary will carry the Christ child. Mary leaves her place to go visit with Elizabeth for a while to have mutual counsel and comfort as they both are pregnant with child. Joseph leaves his reputation behind and doesn't leave his bride-to-be behind. Shepherds leave where they were in the third watch of the night to go closer to see the Christ child that has been born. The three kings leave from a far-off place to come nearer. In the Old Testament, you see that Moses leaves the place of privilege growing up in Egypt, even though as a Hebrew growing up in Egypt as an Egyptian, he leaves that place to go into the wilderness for a while. Joseph unwillingly leaves his place, sold into slavery, but stays on the trajectory that God would have for him and goes on to greater things because he was okay with, even though it wasn't according to what he wanted, he stayed in the position of God's blessing. And in that leave, God did something. One of the greatest leaves ever is that Genesis chapter 12 says this, that God tells Abram to go to a place that he will tell him. How many of you want God to move on that way? Just leave. I'll tell you later where you're going to go. Some of you feel like that's the way you're following God sometimes. But in some of your relationships, you need to be okay with some of your friendships narrowing. It's not a negative thing. Some of you, because they're not narrow, you're people-pleasing. You're trying to figure out how to on one end try to be cool over here, and then you're trying to be thought-provoking over here, and you're trying to be artsy over here because you are spread too thin. You are wide and you are shallow. You need to be okay with narrowing because it'll deepen your life. Come on, somebody. Come on. Some of you need to choose good over evil and best over good. And some of the places that have been before you this past year, you need to definitively walk away from some of those things. Now, let me say as a disclaimer, if you are married, no, that's not what I'm talking about. Some of you are like, I knew it. This just confirmed it for me. No. In fact, some of you need to stop threatening the D word in your marriage. Can I just camp out here for a moment? In fact, if some of you are, your relationships are in peril, we believe that we have a good system in place as a church. I've written a curriculum for 4 weeks to be able to meet with people for initial observation. And sometimes that has been enough to jumpstart a relationship, to redirect them back to the scripture. When that doesn't seem to go well, or they just go, we don't like you, then we hand off to Peter McHugh, who is our pastoral counselor. Just wave everybody, Pastor Peter. He is our resident pastoral counselor, and he does everything gratis, by the way. It's a tremendous investment. How many of you know that investment of free plus your time, that's a pretty good combination? And you need to stay with that. And some of you, if your relationships are in peril, I'm not saying to leave them. I need to make sure I'm very clear on this. This is my disclaimer this morning. If you have already said yes and made a vow at the marital altar, I'm not saying to leave that relationship. And if you're at that point, you need to take some steps to stay. And you need to, until you've exhausted every opportunity, stay, not leave, okay? I need to make sure everybody understands that. And God doesn't want you just to survive in that relationship. He can allow you to thrive. I've seen it. I believe it can happen when the Word and the Spirit are unleashed over your relationships. And so if you've been limping along in your marriages, please take us up on. We are not perfect, but we will do our best. Those of you that have been burned by previous relationships, I pray now you would be hidden under the shadow of the Almighty. Then this next year, you would find that the Lord indeed is your hiding place. And we're going to unpack some of the relationships that haven't gotten to the marital altar yet in a few moments. But I want you to see that our relationships and our places, we see patterns of leaves all throughout the scripture. We need to be okay with it. And what got me thinking about this is that every once in a while, we'll have people that will leave the church. And I don't like when people leave the church. How many of you know that hurts when people leave? And you wonder whether it's something that you did. And so there was somebody, we talked about as staff the other day, and all of a sudden it hit all of us simultaneously. We haven't seen such and such a person for weeks. Unbeknownst to us, they simply moved halfway across the country. They weren't angry with us. They weren't mad at us. It wasn't anything we needed to improve upon. But then there are other times that I know that I need to have an exit interview with people. I need to have a conversation with people. I need people to leave well because we might learn something. We might learn something organizationally. I might learn something personally. Can I just tell you at the outset that if you have left other churches to come here, please make sure you ended well there. Even if they didn't end well with you organizationally, or you left because of people, because otherwise, hear me, you will always be tethered to that place. Trust me, I know it well. I lived it for a while. Tethered to the first place I ministered at because I couldn't let go of some bitterness that was there. That person could care less. That place could care less. But you, it's incumbent upon you to make it right and to do it well. Some of you are at a place where you're contemplating whether you need to leave this house of worship, or maybe you're visiting from other places and you're contemplating leaving that place of worship. Please understand, you and I are culpable on how we end places. You are culpable how you end your jobs. To do it well, to be faithful. Why would God show you the next place of employment when you didn't tie a bow on where you already were? Well, why would you go to another relationship when you know you brought dysfunction into the previous one? We must leave well, and I'm concerned that Christians, we get this worse than the world does. I'm concerned about this. And here's why I think we get it worse, that sometimes we don't want to leave, and we start to think through an idea of pick the leave that it is. Whether it's we wanted to, we felt pressure, God desired it within our life. But then when we get to the precipice, we go, oh, I don't think I want to. Because the pain of staying the same is not greater yet than the pain of change for us. And so we really start to think it through. We really start to articulate it. We go, I don't want to change. I don't want to leave. I'd rather stay where we are. Some of us that are vested in the life of this church, that's what we're feeling as it relates to this building. There's a point where we go, I'm not sure I really want to go. We're under contract to sell this building. We want a more strategic place of worship, a different boat to fish from. But there are times I get to the line and I go, oh, I'm not really sure. And I must articulate whether it's my own fear or whether it's God pausing or hitting pause within our lives. Am I communicating at all yet this morning? Here's the other thing that I think we struggle with, and I'll try not to unpack this too long, but I think it bears unpacking for a moment. As Christians, we are duped into thinking we are supposed to be nice. And some of you in awful relationships have been nice rather than to be kind, and there's a tremendous difference. Let me unpack it this way. First of all, in the scripture, you and I are never called to be nice. I don't like when people tell me that I'm nice, and so I'm trying harder not to be nice. No, I'm not. I'm not nice. Just ask my children. We're not called to be nice. Look it up. Nice is not in the scriptures. Hear me. Kind is, and it's the Lord's kindness that leads us to repentance, to do a 180, to change from certain things, to leave one place to the next. It's his kindness that leads out. Now watch this. Niceness functions from an aspect of weakness, and often it's masquerading as spirituality. But it's giving up ground. It's functioning from an aspect of weakness, of placating and of people-pleasing, where kindness is grounded in truth. Niceness forsakes truth. Kindness is grounded and founded upon truth. Come on, are you with me this morning? You need to see that contrast, because as Christians, this is why we don't do this as well as the world does. In fact, if you're not a believer, you probably intuitively get this better, because you may not have the filter of, oh, I wonder what's expected of me as a nice Christian. And so somehow we have tamed ourselves, and we have bought into the lie that we are to give up ground and in awful relationships stay there, or negotiate our way out and explain our way out rather than definitively cut it off and go to the next place that God has for us. It concerns me. You and I must differentiate niceties and kindness, for there's a radical difference in the way that we express our lives. I hope that makes sense to you. So let's do it this way. In the scriptures, there's one of the profound leaves. There's consecutive ones. They're tied together. And I need you to see that both of them are tied together. If one doesn't happen, then the other doesn't happen. They are connected inextricably. They have to be connected. They cannot be separated. I want you to see this. Matthew chapter 2, verse 12 and following. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Anybody know who the they is here? Can you help me out? Who is the they? Shout it out if you know it. I'm sorry? The wise men. The three kings, the wise men. They were warned. They'd already had a visit with Herod. They had already asked Herod, who is the king of the Jews, hey, by the way, we have seen a star. Where has been born the king of the Jews? You imagine as the king of the Jews going, wait a second, I'm the king of the Jews. Why are you talking about who's born to be king of the Jews? Herod, who already was a wicked, wicked king, this threatened him tremendously. It's ironic. Herod believed in Jesus more than anybody else during his culture. As an outwardly, outrightly wicked pagan king, he knew on some level Jesus truly is the king, not just for a day, but for all time. And he was threatened to the core because of who Jesus is, was, and who he would be. Fascinating. So watch this. Having been warned in a dream, which means this, that more than likely the king stayed there with Jesus for a little bit. This is significant. Because they begin to build relationship. And I don't want to take too much privilege here that's not in the text. But think about it. If they have a dream, that means they stayed overnight. Everybody with me? I'm building this out. It means that they stayed overnight. That means that if you stay overnight, conversations ensue. Hey, where'd you come from? How'd you get here? What route did you take? Oh, you had a dream and you're going to take a different route. Why is that? What's the backstory and all this? Interesting. And so relationship begins to ensue. They're talking about this. We do this all the time when my parents come to visit. I try to always talk my parents into taking George Washington Bridge because it's faster than going over the Cuomo Bridge. It's 20 minutes faster, all things being equal. Take the GW, and every time they go, no, we'd like the peaceful drive up north and then go. But it's something you talk about when people come from out of town. This is what is happening in this setting. Having been warned in a dream not to go back, they returned to their country by another route. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, take the child and his mother, Mary, yeah, and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you. Leave from where you are and go to another place. For Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. You see that the dreams are connected, correct? You see that you need both of them. Both of them have to respond out of, no, we'd rather take the short route. Both of them respond to, but we want to go back to Bethlehem. We got to go pick up our stuff. Why do we need to go to Egypt? That's not convenient at all. How many of you know that when God moves, sometimes it's not convenient? But it doesn't mean that you lean into comfort, because if you do, you will negate the fruitfulness and the flourish that God wants to bring into your life. It also fulfills scripture. So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. Think about this. It's a long time that he had to stay. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet. Out of Egypt I called my son. How many of you want to be able to be ones that fulfill the prophetic of what God wants to bring? You want to fulfill truth. Fulfill that is what's been predicted. Fulfill the prophetic word that you want to fulfill it. Now watch this. When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the three kings, he was furious. And he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem, in its vicinity, who were 2 years old and under. He had done the math. In accordance with the time they had learned from the Magi. Now think about this for a moment. I need you to lean in on this today. There are certain places in your life that you are leaning into merely conversation with people rather than truly getting counsel within your life. Now hear me. There are places that God is already speaking to you and he longs to confirm it through a dream. When God brings a dream, it is rarely the first time he has spoken into a person's life. He brings a dream to confirm something he's already articulated. Everybody with me? So he will speak in some way. We have the privilege of Scripture. If you want God to speak to you, then look at the Scripture. If you still don't have clarity, then God will go, I really need them to make a sound decision based upon Scripture. Then I'll bring a dream. I'll bring a prompting. I'll bring a conversation to bring confirmation. You and I, too often, when we are getting something from God, or we're trying to get something from God, we are making it horizontal, and we are making it wide. We are making it shallow by talking to other people prematurely rather than to ponder and see what God wants to do within our lives. And some of you're saying, no, I'm getting counsel. No. Because you haven't surrounded yourself with a council of many advisors. You're surrounding yourself with the council of people that will confirm what you already want. There's a tremendous difference. We're all guilty of it. I'm going to line up these people. I already know what I'm going to do. But I'm going to go through the pageantry of this process. I already know what I'm going to do. But what if all three of those people spoke different things than what you thought, and all three of them had aligned with one another according to the word of God? Would you really come off of what you really thought you were supposed to do? Or would you go, no, I don't think I really want those advisors. I don't think I must not be hearing from God. Come on, you ever been there? You ever been there? So be careful, please. Because when you do, when you make the things that God wants to bring into your life with other people, first of all, they're not going to celebrate it if God's given you a word. Because if they haven't heard from God in a while, they're going to be naysayers into your life. They're going to be dream killers, not dream catchers. You're going to come off of, you're going to get distracted. And you're not going to be able to get a word then from God that has specificity and clarity over your life. Be content with confusion if you will talk to other people regarding what God is telling you within your life. Because you're just going to struggle with it. And some of you have been victimized by this. We don't want to leave. And the other thing that's interesting before we unpack this a little bit further is this point. How many of you saw that there were consequences to the actions of the three kings and of Joseph? Anybody catch that? Not all those boys wouldn't have been slaughtered. Can I just make a hard statement this morning? There are certain places that you and I need to be okay with. Oh, not the slaughter of children. Not the murder of innocents. But you and I have to be willing to make a divine exchange that when we leave places, there will be consequences, but there will be greater consequences if we stay. And if Mary and Joseph stay, the whole trajectory of history is entirely altered. Everybody with me this morning? And so you need to be okay with, in certain places, it is uncomfortable, it is difficult, it is not what we wanted to do, we wanted to exactly stay here. Think about that later on, Jesus, he takes up his three closest followers, Peter, James, and John, always got the field trips with Jesus. And they go up to the mountain, and they go, man, can't we just stay here? This is awesome. This is awe-inspiring. We just want to stay here. It's comfortable. Let's just build shelters up here. Come on, Jesus, are you with us? And Jesus says, no. And there are certain places you are wanting to build a shelter and hide away. And God is saying, no. And you need to be okay with it because it means that in your discomfort, God is up to something greater. And you need to believe it today. That you, when you do, when you shelter yourself and you hunker down indefinitely. You lean to the slothfulness. You lean into laziness. You lean into luxury rather than to be on the leading edge of what God wants to do within your life. You have your reward if you shelter down on a mountaintop somewhere. But if you will go to the next place that he has for you with clarity that he's the one that authored it, then he will be the one that will execute it within your life. Unto the glory of God. Unto the glory of God. So I'm taking too long with this. I knew I'd get too excited about this. So I want you to see this, that when I was young, I admired clever people, says Abraham Heschel. Now that I'm old, I admire kind people. And I want you to unpack that a little bit over this text in a few moments as we look at some applications. And to help us get here, I'd asked my staff to contribute some leave statements. And so they contributed some interesting things. I want to share them with you. Leave nothing to chance. Leave nothing on the table. Take it or leave it. Don't leave home without it. That's a good one. Don't leave your manners at the door. And then I'm not really sure they were still contributing or they were communicating at this point, but they also added in leave of absence, leave me out of it, leave me alone. Still processing that. We all needed a week off, I think. Have you ever heard of the five loaves and two fish? I'm going to leave you five leaves. Can I do that? Can I leave you five leaves? Are you ready? I'll go quick, I promise. Can I say, will it make you feel better if I say, as we move to close, as we get into these five, as you flip the page to the second half, flip the page to the second half, as we move to close, there are a couple of things that I wanted you to think through, to examine prayerfully and scripturally in your life. Some of you will go, there's no aspect of prayer, Pastor Scott. There's no aspect of counsel. Well, I already told you why counsel, because I think we lean into that too often, and we make it horizontal rather than vertical. Prayer, I trust, is the inclination that you want to bring into your life. I trust that it is somewhat expected, and if you don't have a deep prayer life, just start, and just simply tell God what's in your heart. And so I'm not trying to denigrate that at all in this list, but I really want you to just kind of understand that should be part of who you are. And these five then basically need to be prayers, if you will, within your life. Executable actions according to what God wants to do. So the first is this, leave it alone. Leave it alone. There are certain places in your life that have a certain level of toxicity. I knew I would say that right. Maybe I did say it right. Toxic relationships for you. Toxic places for you. And you are trying to be nice or kind, and it's not the place for either. You need to cut it off. You need to be okay with just leaving. Something that was haunting me this past week as I was putting finishing touches was this. Think about this. Where is the first sin? Where's the original sin? Do you remember where? Where's the location? The Garden of Eden with who? Eve brings in Adam. He's right there with her. Don't let him off the hook too easily, right? They're both there. Serpent comes, and in the course of the conversation, think through what it must look like. In the course of their conversation, he says to her, did he not say, speaking of God, not to eat of this tree? What does that mean? Think about this. What does that mean as to where Eve and Adam were positionally as it related to the tree that they were supposed to stay clear of? Anybody tracking my logic this morning? There wasn't this big move. He's a slithery one. He didn't go, I'll get back to you in a moment. We're going to go see the tree. You coming? No. The idea is, think about this. The idea is this. They already were there thinking about it, considering to go, huh, I know we have all this. But this one, we're going to cozy on up to and stay here for a moment. There are certain places that are toxic for you, and you keep coming back because you're afraid that if you cut it off, you're being mean. And you negotiate it. You try to come up with a plan. You come up with a compromise on it. And it is literally killing you. It is taking your life. And if you could get this one thing right, your next year would be a defining moment. Come on. Come on, this is where being a Christian has hurt you. Because you have misunderstood the true definition of what it looks like to be a Christian. And you negotiate with the one who wants to steal, kill, and destroy. There are some of you that have acted like the devil And you need to stop being the one that's bringing the toxicity into the relationships. We talk often about people that are being victimized. It's very possible that in this house, even though you're a believer, you're the toxic one, you are the victimizer, you are the abuser, and you need to stop and cut it off immediately. Secondly, there's a leave and cleave aspect. Leave and cleave. This is very obvious, but you cannot fully leave one place and go to the other. Well, sorry, I'm saying this the wrong way. You cannot halfway leave one and go to the next place. And there are way too many times you're stretching out. This is why you're breaking resolutions. Because spiritually, emotionally, mentally, this is actually starting to hurt. But it's what you're doing spiritually and emotionally and mentally. You are not leaving one for the next. And the same principle of leave and cleave as it relates to marriage relationships, some of you need to do the same thing. And here's where if you haven't said I do yet, and you know the relationship you're in is toxic, you need to have a right breakup. You need to stop toying with it, negotiating, going back. That if you are going to leave and cleave, and you know it has to be that I'm leaving the one definitively so I can cleave to the next place, then you must be all in. And if you're not sure whether you can be all in, take my mother's wisdom. My mom said to me one day in the midst of a relationship, and that relationship was, it was okay. Some of you went, it's not toxic, it's not horrible, it's just, for you. God's not looking for for you, because if it's now, it'll be, oh no, later. It'll be disastrous for you later. My mom said, if you don't know, then you know. That's good stuff right there. That'll preach. And some of you, I don't know. Then you know. Then you know. Then break up and move on and know you're not going to be friends with them. One of the cruelest things, if you're the one that's saying you're going to break up and then you go, but we can be friends. Oh, thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. No, you need to move on. You have passed the bridge of friendship. And if you're thinking about being, no, I'm way off on a limb here. If you're thinking about being in a relationship with somebody that already is your friend, please understand you either will lose them as a friend or you're going to be married. I tell my daughter all the time, you have two options. You start dating. You are either going to break up and that person will never be your friend again. You can't. Once you've passed that point of nerd, I'm going to keep moving on. Number three. Come on, dads, you're like, It's only time getting amen from the men in the house going, preach it. Numero tres. Leave it better. Leave it better than how you found it. I'll just say it this way. My first church I pastored, I had to leave. Not because of a performance thing. If anybody cares to know the details, I had to leave. I'll tell you another time. And I remember I had a month to leave it better than when I got that news that I had to leave. My next place of ministry, I authored my leave, and my pastor was gracious to me that I had a year to be able to figure things out. He let me go on 9 interviews while I was there. An incredible aspect of grace that he gave to me. And so when I knew where I was supposed to go, finally this church had called me, and I knew I was supposed to go here, I scripted out the entire next year of youth ministry there. Every service for 52 weeks. You remember this, Stefano? You were working for me at that point. 52 weeks of services. Who was going to do what? And that church didn't do anything with it. They didn't use it. But I know, hear me. I know that because I left better rather than bitter, that God cleared the next places for me within my life. Because I ended well. I don't always end well. In fact, I'll insert here that when I was dating people back in the day, this is before I was married, by the way, when I was dating, before being married, my wife will go on record now to say that I didn't know how to break up with people. I'd get bored, tired, whatever, and I'd just walk away with no explanation, no communication. And so I realized how hurtful that was. And so then when I had the opportunity professionally and in future relationships, I realized that you must leave it better. And sometimes, in the places that you think you're supposed to leave or the people you're supposed to leave, you better really understand whether it truly is, it's not you, it's me. You need to really understand those places. Everybody understand? Number four, leave no one behind or leave no child behind. So when I was writing this, I had forgotten that my parents were going to be here. But let me give them some commendation here. Going into eighth grade, when we were living in a town that I really loved, and we had an opportunity to go to another town. It was just the next town over, and we had a house built. And I remember my parents sitting down with us. And I remember them communicating with my younger brother and I in some form or fashion, how is this going to affect you? It will affect you. How is it going to affect you? For me, it was 1 year before going into high school. It was my brother in the middle of his elementary years. I think he was going into fourth grade. This will affect you. How is it going to affect you? And there are some times in your role as mom and dad, include your children, include your families in the process. You don't need their permission, but they need your courtesy. Let me say that again. You don't need their permission, but they need your courtesy. And I remember that now it's more than 30 years ago. Oh, dear God. More than 30 years ago. That was meaningful because that next year was really hard for me transitioning during eighth grade. But I remember my parents had my back and they had valued my input, valued just my perspective on it. And there are certain places, if you know God is moving you to a certain place, a job change, it's going to be really difficult. We can't make ends meet, so we're taking a second job. We decide to take a chance on being an entrepreneur. We're going to do this, we're going to do that. You know God is the one that's authoring. It's not you being hypersensitive or reactionary to something. It's not a knee-jerk reaction. It's a spirit-driven response. If you know, then follow through on doing it the right way with the people that are with you, that you love, and that love you. Don't leave them behind. Because here's the thing. You can't control the outcomes, but you can control how everybody will walk through it. In fact, I put it at the end here, but this is a great quote, and I'll insert it here. Bill Cower says this, before you make a decision, you have control. After you decide, it controls you. That's deep. Who would have thought from a football coach? No wonder he won a Super Bowl with the Steelers. That's good stuff. Finally, worship team, come help me. Leave them wanting more. I know it's poor grammar, but it just reads better this way. Leave them wanting more. One of the great leaves is the shepherds go, and they go to see Jesus close up. Remember that part of the story in Luke chapter 2? Come on, ready? I know there's a little bit of movement out, but will you still tune in as we move to close? Luke chapter 2. Shepherds leave where they are. Everybody remember that, right? Everybody say yes. Shepherds leave where they are to go, let's go. And after they go see him and they see him face to face, they return back. And as they return, all who heard their story were amazed at what God had done. Come on. Your leaves will not be just to your own glory or your gain. And when you think through all of the leaves that God will have for you, when they're truly inspired by God, when God truly is moving you from point A to point B, and you follow the handiwork and the signature of what God wants to do within your life, as you move from those places, from here to there, if you are with God and centered in his will, and it's the right move at the right time, and you did it the right way, then God will receive glory in your every move. For in him we live and move and have our being. And there are certain places, come on church, there are certain places God is moving you. He's helping you to know what to do next. To leave the old and to go to the new. To leave death to go to life. To leave the darkness to go to light. There are certain places that you need to be okay with that. Because if it's God, then he's got you. Then he's got you in this. So I dare you to take bold steps to definitively slap the calendar for 2018, kick it, burn it, whatever you need to do. For God is doing a new thing in 2019. Let it be a revelation. Write it down and make it plain to the glory of God. Come on, would you stand up? Come on, let's respond this morning. I know I preached a little long. I hope you're okay. But I do think that we need to respond. And I hope you got enough in you after listening so intently. For now is the most important part of our service. I believe it wholeheartedly. God wants you to respond, to not just be a hearer. You've been great hearers this morning. But also doers of his word. How many of you think you need a new plan for your next part of your journey? Come on, you need a new plan. You need some new traveling partners. not in exchange of your spouse. God wants to do some new things. And before he can do some new things externally, he wants to do some new things internally. Well, that's not flip it. That's not forsake or invert that process. So come on, I think you need to move from where you are, definitively, symbolically, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically, move from where you are to go, I am definitive, it's going to be different. The old habits, hang-ups, gone. We're slamming the door. No more Mr. Nice Guy. We are moving on to what God wants us to do and to be in this next year. To the glory of God and for our benefit. Amen? Come on, can we chase him for a few moments together? Worship team, lead us. Come on, let's respond in worship. Bring it in our very lives. Come on, would you come just a little bit closer? Let's go.